Hello, everybody, and welcome to 102. Suck FM. I am your host, Blake Rhea. Suck FM, the only radio station where you can literally surf the waves. Hello and good morning. You like that energy? You like that?
I do. I like that energy a lot. Were you going somewhere with that?
Well, now it's your turn because I introduced myself. Now you got to introduce yourself.
Do I have to do it like that?
Yeah, like give me your best radio host, dude.
What's good? What's good, everybody? It's your boy AJ on the track again today. If we got a little bit of traffic on the 105, but if you just hang out there for a little bit, we're going to go ahead and get you right on through this drive. Ain't that right, Blake?
Yes, sir. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Spiritual Successor, the only podcast where we take your lovely video game submissions and turn them into the next AAA video game titles.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Hey, Blake and AJ, where do you guys get all these wonderful submissions ideas from? Well, this is because we get it all from you. That's right, you. If you go ahead and hit us up on Twitter, or email.
The first caller on Twitter will have a chance of winning tickets to a Dodgers game.
We don't do Dodgers games anymore. Or tickets.
We'll give you a first, 10th caller gets a free $5 Steam gift card.
Oh, shit, Blake, I can't do the show now. You got me thinking about tickets. You got me I miss tickets.
I fucking, dude.
When's the last time you just held a ticket, man?
Not since like the Proto Man concert, but
that's
not fucking true
at all. You and I went and saw movies after the Proto Man concert.
I thought you were talking about like concert tickets.
No, I'm talking about tickets in general. The concept that you have a little piece of paper that will let you go and do something. A ticket.
Honestly?
A singular.
Honestly?
Cha-ching. Here's a ticket.
I think the last thing I did with a ticket was The Missing Link. Remember when we saw in that movie? I think that might have been like the last like ticket event I went to, which is a bummer. But I actually have some good news for you, AJ. I don't think you and I talked about it, but the Proto Men just released a Blu-ray of like you can watch like one of their shows from 2011 where it's the original band playing all of Act One in order, and it's so fucking good, AJ. I miss going to Proto Man concerts with you, man. It's such a good time.
I miss tickets. I don't even want to go out. I don't miss doing the things. I miss the power fantasy of having a ticket.
Well,
actually.
Okay. I mean, okay, but now there's other power fantasies in the world, AJ. Like sauce. Giving sauce to your favorite Greek heroes.
I can get sauce in my home. Oh, wait, was this the segue that you wanted to do to get us into Hades talk?
Yeah, you and I are both playing Hades right now. Oh, come on, Mitt. Like, I thought that was a good segue because that's all you talk about. It's like, yeah, I want to give this person the sauce, which is
that
like
is what I do in my
kind of sex, a little sexual.
It's not sexual. I have a bottle of sauce and I'm giving it to them. So for those of you that maybe aren't on the next wave of my whole shit and the thing that I'm going to be building my personality off of for the next 6 months until Monster Hunter Rise comes out, I've been playing Hades, and Blake, you've also been playing Hades, and this game rules hardcore, doesn't it?
Literally just before AJ and I started up our call, like, what was it, 2 hours? Yeah, it was 2 hours ago right now.
We fired up 2 hours ago, and we're like, we don't know if we want to do a podcast yet. We're not feeling it.
We both were like, let's just play some fucking Hades. And so he and I just sat on the phone for 2 hours, mostly in silence, just playing Hades together. And that's, in my opinion, that's true friendship right there. But no, like, it's just, out of all the roguelikes I've played, I think my favorite is the Gungeon still. But this one is like, it actually, and you and I were talking about this, it makes the idea of the roguelike integral to the story.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, it's like with a roguelike, it's you die and then you go back to the beginning. And more often than not, there's not really a logical explanation to it. But in this story, it's like nobody dies in hell. And the fact that you keep dying and being sent back to the beginning logically makes sense within the world and is engaging and interesting and plays an integral part to the story. And
you'll basically
like
go into just
cool
about any
hell.
Boss fight and your main character says, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to leave hell. And then the boss says, nuh-uh, you're going back to the stink pit and you're starting all over again. And then they kill you and you get put back into the stink pit and then you have to run through the whole level again.
But if you kill them, you get to have sweet, like, you could, like, share drinks with them in the lounge, which is pretty cool. I have a crush on Meg, if, you know, you couldn't tell, AJ.
I knew you would.
She's got spiky teeth. She's mean and has cool earrings. Oh, she's so fucking cool. And she's also really, really mean, man. That's like my three wings.
That's her job, though. It's her job to be mean. She is paid to be mean. She's on the
clock. But see, when I gave her the freaking honey drink for the first time, though, she was like, she had that little stumble of like, where she was going to say thank you, but then she's like, I will get rid of this contraband immediately. And I'm like, ooh, the ice is melting. I love that drama. Fuck yeah, dude. Apparently that's one of the people you can romance in the game, and then there's Thanatos is like the dude that you can romance in the game.
I'm really upset that you can't romance Skelly, the nasty skeleton in your backyard.
You mean the Brooklyn like skeleton that loves to fucking sass you? He's so good.
Yeah, why is he back there? I can't wait to find out that mystery. Hey Blake, are you ready to talk about fake video games stuff?
Yeah, what's our first submit? Who's our first caller, AJ? Yeah, I'm bringing this bit back. I don't know if it's funny, but see, that's how I go into every bit on Spiritual Successor. This is how I go into every bit on 102 Points Suck. I just say things and hopefully it works out, or AJ picks up the pieces.
Our first caller today is Philip K on Twitter @Zaldine. Now, this submission came to us last week, but I really wanted to squeeze it in because it's very funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
A pub crawl RPG.
Ooh, okay. So is this, like, my immediate thought is this, like, it starts off as a pub crawl but gets kind of fucking crazy, just like At World's End by Edgar Wright? Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah, I have not seen that movie, but I do know that that's kind of the big twist of it, because Netflix basically was just like, hey, this is the big twist of the movie. Also, the ad campaigns were like, hey, here's the big twist of the movie. I guess there never it was never really a twist, was it?
Everyone was just like,
hey,
knew.
This is the point. It's a pub crawl, and then it turns into an alien invasion.
Yeah, that is kind of weird, because, like, I mean, I don't know, like, they did that in Shaun of the Dead, where it was just like, oh, you knew it was going to be, like, the twist of the movie that it was a zombie movie, and then now he has to, you get it all in the trailer. I guess the only trailer that happened with a little bit of mystery was Hot Fuzz, wasn't it?
Well, Shaun of the Dead, it says it in the tin. I don't know, like, Shaun of the Dead. Yeah, that's a zombie movie.
Yeah, that's true, that's true.
Any movie that has the word dead in it is a zombie
that's
thing.
Weird. That's
At
weird.
World's End, I think, now I haven't seen the movie, so you would be able to speak to it more. Do they bury the lead on that?
Hey, AJ. You know I'm, like, the biggest Edgar Wright fan in the world. I've seen all of his movies except that one. Primarily because, like, I watched the trailer and I'm like, okay, I've seen this movie already. I mean, just like
I've seen the other two Cornetto movies. I've seen this one. Oh, this one, it's like Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz, except with aliens this time and a lot more booze. I've seen it.
A lot more booze. Okay. Oh, but okay, so are we going to take a route with this? And honestly, I'm just gonna just because we've been playing Hades, I kind of want to take a Hades route with it. Turns out every game we're going to make today is going to be a roguelike sort of attempt after attempt sort of game. So is the point of this game, like, you're trying to, you have like five different bars you got to get to. And
no, the point of this game is to hit 200 bars in one night.
Okay, but where is the, like, what's the, is that just, like, a story where you're just going, it's like Super Mario World, but, like, you're going level to level to level, and each level is a different bar? What does that look like?
I'm imagining something a little bit more like Darkest Dungeon. Have you played that?
I have watched Patrick play it, a buddy of ours.
So I'm imagining something like Darkest Dungeon. You have a party of players that are going to go like bar to bar to bar to bar to bar. And I believe the goal is that you need to get, like, you need to do, maybe it's like 1,000 bars in one night or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through, and every time somebody blacks out from partying too hard or drinking too hard or having too much of a good time or having too much of a bad time, they're out. And you get, like, a small party, and you just have to go through 1,000 rooms.
Well, what if it's, like, a sort of, it's a metering system, so it'll be, like, how drunk they are. But there should be, like, a balance of, like, the more intoxicated they are, the higher their abilities are. But if you get them too drunk, they pass out on you. So that's, like, the idea of death. That implies that all of our enemies need to be things that get them intoxicated.
I'm... here's the thing. We can talk about haha funny of tequila fucks you up and it's like really mean, and we could go that direction. Do you want to talk about like the character classes of a group that's going on a pub crawl?
I mean, we could, but like, I feel like we would need to figure out what is gameplay, and that would influence the kind of characters that would be in that situation.
All good action comes from character. We must start with character.
Okay. So you have the small dude who can drink more than anybody else, and that's like, it's kind of, you feel it would be the opposite because like their body mass index is smaller, so like to get drunk, it takes less alcohol, but it's the opposite.
One character that's hyper important for the pub crawl is the driver, the DD. There it is. You're playing as the DD.
You're playing as the DD.
You are the DD.
Trying to just herd cats from bar to bar.
You're trying to get them from bar to bar, shaking them location to location. You're trying to get them through all of these bars in one night.
So are you just the leader of... Okay, so let's use Darkest Dungeon as an example. Darkest Dungeon is where you go room to room trying to get to the bottom of there. The gameplay is like you meet opponent or other opposing groups, and sometimes you lose one of your characters. So it's a group management game that, like, is there fighting? Is there, like... Is it, like, just you're playing an assortment of drinking games? But you know what would be kind of cool, though, is actually, depending on our characters, certain characters do drinking games better than the others. Like, my boy Bronson is really good at the quarter game, but my boy Sammy is terrible at it. So, like, is it just trying to make sure...
It's a roguelike where every room, air quotes room, is another little mini game. And depending on who you've brought in with you on the party, you get different little bonuses in the mini game, right?
Yes. And also, there in between each levels, you can find a room where you can actually up some of your abilities. So like, hey, here's a cocktail of like perception or something like that, and it basically makes any sort of like it so can let's either think slow about, down like, time during a mini so game what are the... or.
Yes. Okay, so bar minigames, right? We've got darts, we've got beer pong, we've got, what's another bar game that we can
do? There's the quarter game where you have to bounce the quarter into the cup. I believe there's also, I feel like you could do a mat. Oh, there's that one game where you actually put the ball underneath one of the solo cups and you, like, shift it around. So, like, keeping track of the ball. There's also, I know one drinking, I don't know if, like, we can turn it into a mini game, but there's, like, the whole idea of, like, hey, I'm going to ask a question based off of, like, how you look. And if I get it right, you have to drink. It's that game that Tyrion plays in Game of Thrones. Do you think you can make like a game about that, like a mini game?
I think I'm a little bit more interested in these like physical games, like darts, like the ball shuffle, and if I could get enough, maybe like a beer pong game. What we can do is we can add in a stat for these characters, and the one stat might be like a temporal manipulation. Essentially, you know, when you drink and stuff slows down or speeds up or whatever. That will be a stat that some of our characters have. So if you have like somebody that's like when they drink, everything gets super slow for them. Then every time you go in for like the cup shuffly like, game, you're like, I need to put Slow Jerry on there because Slow Jerry's never going to lose track of that ball because I can just watch it casually the whole time.
And every bar... It takes like, of course we need more mini games, but every bar is a different themed bar. So like they will do their own versions of the game. So like you come across a bar that's all, it's all in the water. It's a bar within a pool. So the beer pong game, instead of just being on a solid rigid table, it'll actually move around on you and move with the waves and splashing of people. So it's just like little things that make, it's the same games, but they're done a little bit different depending on the theme of the bar.
And there's going to be so many mini games and so many different little bars.
Oh, hell yeah. You ready for another game?
Yeah, hit me with another one.
This one comes to our next caller comes to us on Reddit at User Green Transplant, a game where if you lose, your console blows up. Repeat sales, yo. So you do a roguelike game, but every time you die on a run, You have to go buy a new console. AJ, I remember you telling me when we were playing games earlier, you've gone through 50 rounds of this game, right?
51. 50 run, fight number 50, run number 51. I got to fight the final boss in Hades. I got there. I did get my ass absolutely handed to me, but I got there. 51 runs, baby. Let's go.
So a Switch that's $300 new. I mean, you can't find one for $300 right now because everybody's price gouging bullshit. Fucking, there's nothing cuckier than being a price gouger for, like, in the middle of a quarantine. Go fuck yourself.
Well, that's a bit of a kink-shaming aspect that you got there, but okay, bud.
It's not, no, I don't mean cuck in, like, a fun ha-ha, you know what, cucky. People like to cuck, fine, sure, whatever, it's cool. I mean cucking in, like, the worst way possible. So, 51 rounds times $300, you know how much money that is, AJ? That's $15,000! You've spent $15,000 playing Hades.
Do you remember that game Mighty Number 9, the Mega Man like spiritual successor that was really bad?
Oh my god, yeah! That
Do you
thing,
remember
like,
that when that game
consoles.
Sold originally, it was like, check it out, yeah. You can play it on your Wii U. And if you played it on the Wii U, like half the time it just bricked your system.
Yeah! How the fuck did that get past people? So wait, I like this because... Oh my god, AJ. Okay, I want to take that idea and I'm going to combine it with Sekiro. I know you haven't played Sekiro yet, but there is this idea in there. Every time you die, you lose all of your, quote, like, your souls or your tokens, basically. But depending on, like, your karma and other various things, there is a percentage chance that you only lose, like, half of it or you lose none of it at all. So... what if you do a system like that where you're playing this game and every time you die, there is just there's a 15% chance that it's going to brick. And then maybe you implement like some sort of karmic system where depending on what you do in the game, like lowers or heightens those percentages.
I do have one wrinkle that I want to make, and it will fundamentally change the submission, but I would argue that what I'm proposing is drastic in the right ways.
Tell me about it.
Now, the submission was the idea that if you died, the system broke, right?
Yeah, a game where if you lose your console, blows up. I don't know if they meant that literally.
I feel like this is good. This is harmful in the ways that our game design should be harmful. But I feel as though just destroying property is too easy, Blake. Might I suggest a game where every time you die, something that is saved on your system is deleted?
Oh, like your like download progress or...
No, yeah, anything, any document, thing that your computer can be like, here is a singular item. Boop! Every time you die, it's going to delete one thing. Now, This could go many places. This was, of course, be a PC exclusive. So you're playing through, you're running through the game, you die, oops, your resume is deleted. That's fine, you had a backup copy on your flash drive anyway. You run through, oop! Google's deleted. Oh, okay. That's a weird thing. But we can go deeper. It can even delete, like, files and, like, operating systems. Like, you run through. You have a really bad run. Ooh, something has to get deleted. It deletes the fact that your computer knows how to access Wi-Fi. Whatever code that is that says, this is the Wi-Fi activator. Boop. Gone. Hope you have an Ethernet cable, dork, because you died too many times and your luck was shitty, so now you have to have a wired laptop to access internet.
All right. I love this idea because that means, like, it can go to your program 86 file and delete that, and then your computer just bricks itself.
It's possible that you luck out and it deletes the game first.
But I want to add, like, just a little bit of wrinkle, because honestly, if I were playing this, I'd get really frustrated, and, you know, I want people to continue playing our game and continue buying our game. The thing that it deletes, it doesn't really delete it. It just places it somewhere randomly in the world of your game, and you have to fight your way through the levels to get it back. So, hey, it deleted my sweet folder with all of my fan art of Meg from Hades, right? I'm like, oh fuck, I need to get that back right now. So I have to, but I don't know what level it's on, so I have to go through each level and find out, like, I guess a good example, remember Metal Slug, where it's just like there's those crates and you have to like bust them open and there can be any number of things in them. It's kind of like that. So where it's like, oh, I found this crate, I'm gonna bust it. Oh fuck, there's my sweet pics of Meg. I'm good. I don't have to play this game anymore.
Are you told what the game has taken hostage?
Or do you just have
to know, like, you've died and somewhere in the world a file is now being held hostage?
I don't want people to know, because I'm just thinking of, like, I'm trying to think of, like, what it would look like if, like, my folder of Meg was deleted. It would be more shocking to me to be like, man, I want to go look at some pictures of that really cool gal. And then I go there and it's fucking gone. That, I want that experience for everybody. I don't want anybody to know.
You open up that folder on your computer and it's what is left is a ransom note.
Play our game, loser. Sincerely, the Suck Boys.
The ransom note says, we've stolen your insert file document. If you want it back, come find us in blank. And then you have to fire up that game and go in and hunt it down. And
hold on. See, the thing is that it's not that fucking easy, because what you may find it in the level, but you have to get through that level to get it back.
Yeah.
So it's like you can only collect things that get things back that you beat the level on. But you might lose, and now you've lost not only your folder of Meg, you've lost your folder of Thanatos. So it's like, now you're fucked on all ends, right? So, you think people would pay money for that?
Okay, this rules. Okay, what is the gameplay, though, right? Because, like, when you say, like, oh, you need to go out and rescue your thing and bring it back, my immediate thought is like, well, what does a rescue look like? Does it look like completing the level? Or my personal favorite, and by personal favorite, I mean most agonizing thing that I can think of when it comes to trying to save something or someone in a digital sense, is the hit game Dead Rising.
Interesting. So it's like a world where you have to explore it, but there's like a bunch of
Out necessarily, but what Dead Rising does is, in order for you to save a survivor, you need to go out, find them, and then bring them back to a safe house.
That's true.
Because what you have to do a little delivery mission, which of course is the best type of mission.
Okay.
We've kidnapped your folder of Megara.
Mm-hmm.
You now need to hunt down this folder of Megara. You find the folder, and the folder's being carried by a little helper character. And then you need to safely transport and bring that little helper back to a central base. It isn't that you need to just get to that level, Blake. You need to get to that level and back to retrieve your Megara.
Just taking that as an idea, this world, let's say it's a little open world, but all the enemies are little computer viruses, or like they're like little glitchy monsters. They look like the super hot guys, basically, where they're just kind of like weird, glitched out, polygonal sort of enemies. And when you die in the game, something is taken from your computer and introduced into that world, and you know, it'd be so fucking cool. What if that folder or whatever is given like a pre-made personality? So that folder can actually talk to you. So like, if you log into the game and then like it's just one of those like weird polygonal cutouts, but the face has been replaced by like the image of the folder with Meg pictures in it.
Hey, Blake Raya.
Now it's talking to you. What?
Did we just invent Digimon?
No.
Hear me out. We've created little digital people that randomly access, like, through the data. We've created a program that says we've stolen a folder. We've analyzed that folder. We've created a little persona for that folder. That's a Digimon, dog.
No, I thought Digimon were like Pokemon, where it's just like it's a monster that exists in the world, and then it can choose you.
No, I think they're like little programs.
I mean, they are programs. It's a digital world, but it's like, it's in the title, Digital Monsters, but I don't think it's like created based off of you. I think it's just like a partner that you find.
Okay, that's fair.
I think that's, and then they fight with them. We're not using our programs to fight one another, but it would be kind of cool if like some of the programs that get taken from your computer don't want to go back, and that becomes a boss battle.
No.
So like,
I think that the game stands on itself. I think that the data kidnapping is its own mechanic. I don't want us to run into the situation where you have to kill your folder full of Meg photos. I want you to watch this character that you are delivering, like this little helper that has the box labeled Meg photos, and he's carrying this box through this spooky dungeon, and you slip up. You don't notice the archer that's a little bit around the corner. The archer kills the little helper. You have to watch. You, Blake Rhea, must watch as your failure causes your resume and Megara photos, because you kept them in the same folder because you needed inspiration to continue working on your resume. You watch your resume be destroyed along with the photos of your new digital darling.
Okay, is it destroyed? Like, okay, actually, that's an interesting.
If you fail
because...
to retrieve your homie or your friend, the
it's
helper,
like Souls from Dark Souls. It's like you
it's
lose
exactly
it once.
Like Souls from Dark Souls. Yes, you die one time, something's kidnapped from you. You let that thing be destroyed on when you're trying to save it. It's gone forever.
Oh, fucking boss fights are going to be so unfair.
Boss fights will be hostage situations. Hello, Blake Rhea. It's me, Morpheus. Evil Morpheus. I have evil horns, and I have kidnapped all of your internet exploring apps. Internet Explorer, Mozilla Firefox, Google Chrome. They all lie here in my tiny box.
How do we defeat them?
No.
I want to try something a little bit different with the bosses, because I feel like the bosses need to be different than like the basic gameplay. Basic gameplay is just a random Joe Smo archer or enemy kills you, something's taken, and then you have a chance to get it back. With the bosses, I feel there should be more at stake. So two ideas. One, they steal personal information, so search history, credit card information, social security number. And if you lose, that's not deleted, that's shared publicly. So
We've already done a game where we dox ourselves, Blake. I think that we need to limit this one.
Okay, are you fine with it being information that's deleted?
Might I propose that maybe the bosses are what could end up destroying how your computer operates.
Okay, so bosses brick while just AI enemy or just like casual enemies destroy information.
Yes, yes, yes. Now we're getting it. So your little enemies can be the reason that your photos, your documents, your memories are all destroyed and lost forever. Maybe a video game here and there. Your bosses, they're going to just start grabbing random systems that make your computer work.
Oh my God.
I'm thinking stuff like, the time and date feature on your machine. Ooh, it's gone now because Morpheus kicked your ass so hard and then destroyed it.
Notification system gone.
Well, that one I would actually like. If I could just let the boss destroy the notification system, that'd be great.
Okay, how about this? It destroys all of the sound capabilities, which makes the game harder because this whole game operates off of
Your speakers, right? So you maybe you can play still if you plug headphones in, but maybe the next boss you fail that one and it destroys your headphone port.
It destroys. No, you know what pissed me off so much? It destroys one of the channels on your headphones. So like it destroys the speakers, so you can't just play speakers, and then you have to plug it in, and then now your fucking right channel is destroyed, so you can only hear audio out of your left side. And now this game is just annoying to play.
These will be so small, right? Little things that you wouldn't even think of. Your first couple times you run against this boss, you're like, whatever, he's just deleting like the dumb stuff that I don't really need. But it is random, right? Maybe one day you go in for the boss and he's like, ha ha ha, I've deleted the drivers of your graphics card and now I look extra shitty while you fight me. And you're like, this is very frustrating. Now I have to reinstall the drivers.
I have an idea. You know, like how the big thing is right now for a lot of gaming companies to be like, hey, sign in and this and you can play this game on multiple systems. The DLC that comes out for this game, we call it cross-platform. So now the bosses in the DLC are not only attacking the console you're playing on, but all of the other systems that you're logged into. So like imagine playing, like you have your Destiny account on your computer and you have your Destiny account on your PS4. Some of the data that might be deleted, I may be playing on my PC, but they could be deleting shit off of my PS4 and I wouldn't even know.
Goodbye, so my 40-hour save file of Persona.
I feel like most people would be happy to get rid of that.
Bold claim.
Actually, there are some people who play Persona like some people play Skyrim.
I got a buddy that ran through Persona like 6 times.
Jesus Christ, that's so much time.
You really liked
that's
it.
That's so much time. Oh my God. Hey, good for them. Like, no, there's like a lot of joy in finding a game that you can sink that much time into and still have a good time.
I know, I'm so ready for Monster Hunter Rise, dude.
Dude, you and I are going to finally play a Monster Hunter game from the get-go together.
Hell yeah.
Because you and I tried getting into Worlds and like just the sheer like level difference was
insane.
Yeah,
you were like 3 years behind at that point. Well, 2 years behind at that point.
I was small, weak baby. All right, that was a fun game. Let's come up with another one, man.
I'm going to put a pin in that one.
That one is definitely nug material.
Burn it to the ground and leave nothing September in your eyes, at dust in your eyes suggests. Dynasty Warriors. But you control the prince and his cousins from Katamari Damacy.
Oh, interesting. So are you just have a big ass ball that you're rolling around over hundreds of enemies?
You have a little ball at first.
Okay.
That you then roll over hundreds and hundreds of enemies. Yes, you got that.
Interesting. Okay, how does that... Because with Katamari Damacy, it's like the challenge of the game is, one, you have a timer. So you have like only a minute to destroy whatever X amount of enemies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's also like the matter of some enemies you can't, or some objects you can't get because you're too small to grab them. How do you implement that in a game like this? It's just like the first things you can get are like regular sized humans, and then you're just slowly working yourself up to now you're collecting giants, now you're collecting dragons, now you're collecting elemental gods or something like that. Is that, because I'm trying to figure out what's the gameplay loop.
Yeah, I think that the gameplay loop might be like a simple repetition of just needing to get big enough to swallow up a soldier. Because once you can swallow up one soldier, you're going to take the whole battlefield, huh?
You know, it'd be kind of fun, actually. What if like the opening part of the game, it's because like one thing I like is like shifts of power in games. So it's like the first minute or so is about going around collecting things Katamari Damacy style to get to a position to where you can start fighting the soldiers. But for the first minute, you have 100 soldiers chasing you, taking swipes at you. So there's like this, there's this urgency and this buildup of like, oh fuck, wait till I get to 100 centimeters, dude, I'm gonna fuck your face up. And so it's like a runaway game that becomes like, oh, now I can kill everybody.
Yes.
And the evolution of that, I think, would be it starts off with soldiers and then it goes up to bigger knights and then it goes up to like actual like war.
How big are we willing to let these knights get in our Dynasty Warriors game? Because these games, I mean, I know it's one dude killing like 500 people in one swing, but they're like grounded. Like, I don't think there's ever been like an 8-foot tall dude before in those games.
My good sir, have you ever played Berserk Band of the Hawk?
Yeah, that's why we said Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, but in that game, he goes up against, like, giant monsters, too.
Okay, so you want to add a fantasy element.
Yeah, I feel like that would be the natural way of making this game interesting level to level, because, like, certain monsters have certain abilities, and, like, a dragon could, like, breathe fire over an area, and that becomes more complicated than just one guy with an axe
swinging
at you. And
he's gonna burn up my big old orb that I built out of flesh dudes.
Yeah! Basically, oh my god, that's so fucking morbid. I'm just picturing, like, the little Katamari Damacy little boyo, and he's just pushing a giant ball of fire and just like how fucking
metal
that
would look. About Billy Hatcher.
Billy Hatcher?
Sorry, yeah, just like the idea of a Katamari Damacy game where like you have a big ball that you're pushing around and like there's gameplay mechanics about like, oh, you can use it as a shield, or oh, make sure you have the right kind of orb that you're pushing to face off against this enemy. That's just Billy Hatcher.
Oh, shit. Oh my god, now I'm remembering Billy Hatcher. Yeah, it was the guy with the egg, right?
Yeah, the guy with the egg.
Oh my god, I haven't thought about that game in years, dude.
One of the weirdest things about that game, by the way, just to pop off about Billy Hatcher, my dear friend.
Other than a kid pushing a giant egg around, well, I can't imagine.
Well, you
played
as a kid that was dressed up like a chicken, and you pushed around big eggs, and you fed the big eggs fruit so that you could hatch them, and they would release a little creature that would help you out, and you could command the little creature as a friend to, you know, shoot fireballs, throw lightning everywhere. One interesting thing about the hit game Billy Hatcher from the GameCube generation, which we all knew and loved.
Mm-hmm.
It was developed by Team Sonic. You know of Sonic the Hedgehog fame. So there was a special egg you could find.
Oh, I remember that, and it was Sonic.
It was Sonic. You could hatch Sonic out of an egg and then tell Sonic to go kick someone's ass for you.
If I remember correctly, wasn't the design like, that's not Sonic, but hell yeah, that's totally Sonic?
No, I think it was just Sonic.
Really? I remember seeing some footage of that and seeing something. I'm like, that looks like Sonic, but it doesn't quite look like Sonic.
Don't worry, I'm about to look up Billy the Hatcher Sonic and get to the bottom of this.
Okay, so while you're looking that up, I have an idea.
Hey,
so
can we just do a Billy the Hatcher sequel?
A Billy the Hatcher sequel? I guess we could. They're rolling their egg around just trying to, like, collect bodies on the battlefield.
Yeah, I want to put Billy Hatcher in a big, big war zone where he had to kill lots of people with swords.
Okay, here's the plot of the game. Here's the plot of the game. Billy Hatcher is trying to amass his own army to do whatever. So the game is about collecting people that you are then going to force into your army. The mechanics that are against you is that everybody's trying to destroy the ball that you collect.
They're trying to crush my egg.
Yeah, so like you have to, so it takes that Katamari Damacy thing where you have to like be of a certain size. But it's like, I guess there's dragons that can destroy your ball. There's people that with cannonballs that can destroy your ball. Oh my god, and if your ball falls apart, they all get up again and start trying to attack you.
Well,
My
thought was that at this point we've just created a big, big Dynasty Warriors game with a mechanic of you needing to get your ball and egg big enough that you could hatch it and awaken some sort of horrible monster and then just lay waste in the battlefield.
It just like fucking births apostle, like berserk apostle monsters.
Exactly.
Like Lovecraft,
how
like
powerful
Lovecraftian
would
creatures.
Sonic the Hedgehog actually be if he popped out of a big egg and I could release him on 100 people?
I don't know. Didn't they talk about that in the new Sonic movie?
I don't know. Why would I have watched the new Sonic movie?
Actually, I heard it was very good, but it's not the Sonic from the new Sonic movie. It was the original design, the one with like human teeth. So it's like a really, really gross rendition of
Yes, Billy
Sonic.
The Hatcher, but he releases horrifying monstrosities.
Oh my god. You know what this reminds me of? Remember, god, this was like, I can't remember the name of them, but my brother used to collect them. Remember those like cards where it would take a brand and then like change one syllable and make it be like gross out stuff?
Yeah.
Instead of like, but they also did
instead
that
with
characters.
Instead of hot rods, they did like snot rods.
Yeah, yeah. So what if you do something like that where every time your egg opens, it's Sonic, but instead of Sonic, it's Sanic. Or it hatches Tony the Tiger from Frosted Flakes. That's from Frosted Flakes, right? For some reason, I thought he
Except
was a
different
Except
it's tiger. Tony the Liger, and he's like really big and has a mane and two swords.
And oh my god, that's so sweet. So it's just like kind of, it hatches off-brand things that will fight for you. So, like, the level starts, it's just about collecting people and collecting bodies around your egg. And then the gameplay after that, it becomes like now you're playing it like Devil May Cry 5, where you're just V, but with his monsters.
Hey, should we do a little lesson about Billy the Hatcher, or should we just assume that everybody knows who Billy Hatcher is?
AJ, you know, actually, yeah, you're right. We should talk a little bit about Billy Hatcher. I thought you were going to ask me is like, hey, should we like actually know what Billy Hatcher is?
And no,
like,
I think
no,
I described
no, no,
it pretty
flavor,
good. He's just a kid with an egg and a chicken suit.
Yeah. What is his end goal? Like, is he trying to get, he's trying to save somebody,
He's trying
right?
to save his friends that also got swept up into the egg world.
The egg world.
You know what? I'm done with people trying to be like, oh, when are we getting this remake or that remake? Like, every time, like, Nintendo's like, here comes a Nintendo Direct, and people are like, more Smash, more Smash. I'm making the push for Billy Hatcher HD Remaster.
That'd be fun. I mean, they've been pretty on the ball with HD remasters, except for, like, the Mario 3D All-Stars, because those aren't remasters. I mean, they did up, like, the resolution of things, but it wasn't, like, a full-blown remaster, but they did the Spyro remaster, they did the Crash Bandicoot remaster. Like, I think they're doing pretty okay with that.
But will they give my boy Billy Hatcher any love?
I mean, did it make him a lot of money back in the day?
No.
No, then they're not gonna.
No,
it's Nintendo.
It wasn't done by Nintendo. It's done by the Sonic team. Sonic the Hedgehog? I can't stress this enough.
But a lot of Sega titles now release exclusively on the Nintendo, though.
Who would I need to harass about bringing me Billy Hatcher back? Sega?
I mean, yeah, you can tell Sega. You can be like, hey, PS5. I know PS5's coming out. You know what? Like, we'll automatically make parents buy that Billy the Hatcher HD remaster for PS5 today. Or you can get like a limited run series on it, and it comes in the little case that's like shaped like an egg. Should we choose?
You have another video game for me?
I do have another game submission for you. This one comes to us from our next caller is John Forklift Kennedy at Waluigi. Hey, I think I got your name right. We had a big discussion on it on our Discord. An RPG where your inventory is randomly generated from Wish ads, inspired by this Buck Wild ad I keep getting. It's just a plastic mask for Tom Nook, which is next to what looks like moldy bread for $8. Yeah, is that moldy bread? Is that fucking moldy bread? Ugh. All right. I have this list open. Did you know you can get helmets for your chickens, AJ? I didn't know if you knew that, but you can.
I can get
wish.com. You can get helmets for your chickens off of wish.com.
Yeah, that makes sense. They need to be protected.
All right. So we need to make a game about Wish ads. So what is the weirdest thing you've gotten on Wish?
I don't buy anything on Wish, but I feel like I've gotten an ad from Wish for like butt stuff. Like, I've seen a lot of sex stuff on Wish ads.
do tell how wait, didn't Nina get you a like a Gurren Lagann thing from Wish, but all the coloring was wrong?
No. What? I think they saw that on Wish,
yeah,
but I do not own something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just going to read off some of the wonderful things. Believe it or not, a lot of Wish is actually about Donald Trump. I didn't know if you knew that. There is... There's a Donald Trump toilet cleaner. There is a Donald Trump / Kim Jong-un kissing t-shirt, which is just fucking wild to me. There's a Snorlax sleeping bag, helmets for your chickens, a giant bread loaf. You can buy a plague doctor costume on here.
And
that's rad as
RPG
hell, actually.
That plays with all of these fun toys.
Yes. Oh my god, you can get a little hedgehog out of your glass. God, these are actually like... really fucking cool, but also
all these tools are so varied that the only way that I can imagine a gameplay that manages to fit all of these things into one interactable tool
is it a roguelike?
Well, I was gonna say Dead Rising because everything that you've kind of listed is throwable. I
oh
can definitely
God.
Throw the hell out of whatever you've just all everything that you've listed. So
oh, fuck.
I
okay.
guess what
so
we're
you...
looking for is Dead Rising 5.
H,
it's
H,
good
H,
again.
H. AJ. Okay, so the premise of the game is that, you know, like how Amazon has like big warehouses full of shit?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be that, but with Wish. So you are locked in a Wish warehouse that has a bunch of different departments, or maybe we can do a mall and it is full. Every store is dedicated to Wish items or something like that. So, so basically you're just like surviving against what?
Zombies?
I mean, they've already done that, though. We should try and get... What the fuck? You just buy this guy's... You just buy Matt Damon's face on this thing, which is, like, a little bit weird.
Hmm.
You want me to try a different game?
What do you got for me?
This one, our next caller is Caleb at Busto314. Pokemon Among Us. it's Among Us, but with Pokemon. And I saw this one, and I got really excited because I thought, okay, what if you did Pokemon, but it's sort of mystery, it's like Pokemon Dungeon style, where everybody has personalities, everybody has character, all that stuff. And every Pokemon is randomly chosen. You don't get to choose who your starter is, but each one gives you random abilities that allow you to do your tasks faster, and every Pokemon has different ways of killing. So it could be like, hey, you logged in and this person died by fire. There's three fire types in our group, so it is one of these three people. So it kind of becomes like it becomes Among Us, but now there's evidence, and it becomes like a sort of investigative game, but starring Pokemon.
I think that one thing that would be important, and or maybe just a flavor thing, is that they're all wild Pokemon except for one who is trying to capture all of them. So I would argue that you never find, like, a body. No one's ever harmed. I think that people will just go missing because they've been captured.
Interesting. But for them to capture them, they need to have a small Pokemon battle.
Yes, they do need to be herded. Okay. And it's the evidence of where the herded marks are. Like, they see burn marks on the wall, and they're like, well, hold on, wait, why did someone fight over here? Hey, what did you guys fight over on this zone? So maybe that's it. Maybe the wild Pokemon are fighting other wild Pokemon so that they can get stronger and bigger and cooler and faster and more beautiful when they evolve.
Here's the thing. If they evolve, that immediately tells everybody that they are the imposter trying to catch everybody. So, like, I'm trying to take the concept of Among Us, where it's like one or two people are trying to get everybody else, and everybody who's being got are trying to figure out who's trying to get them. So, like, how do we apply that to Pokemon? And I think if you do a thing where there's obvious tells that you are the imposter, the game isn't fun. So I like the idea of, like, your character getting invisible ability upgrades. So, like, with every fight, they get a new like ability. So, like, instead of bite, now they have ember. Instead of ember, now they have dragon. Dragon meteor?
Yeah, Draco meteor or something like that. Fuck, something dope cool like move. That.
Yeah. So, like, it
probably
it
something
takes
like
the thing...
dragon kill shot or some shit. Like,
but the idea of
Draco
your character...
explosion claw.
So, like, the longer the game goes on, the more powerful the imposter
Pokemon. Draconic Ambition. Sorry, you keep going. I'm going to think about more cool dragon terms.
That's right. I was going to say famously, but I'm like, who the fuck famously to what? You normally like doing dragon teams. Dragon and doggo teams, right?
Oh, in Pokemon?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I like seeing I did a dog run where I tried to make just a complete dog team, but I also did a Nuzlocke run a while ago, and I ended up with just a bug team by the time I was at the Elite Four, and that was very funny.
Dude, you and I have talked about doing a Nuzlocke run. We should totally do one.
So about this Among Us game, you keep going on that. I'm going to think about more cool dragon terms.
Well, I mean, I would hope this is a team effort.
Okay, what cool dragon terms do you have then?
Dragon smash, claw down.
Dragon claw down's not too bad.
Fang supreme.
Oh, Blake.
Yeah, what's up?
Dragon D's nuts.
Fucking hate you. You know what's so like? I know we were talking about game submission, but I actually want to go off a little tangent because this actually makes me feel like gives me a lot of feel good vibes. Every time there was a period of time where everybody in our group, especially you, AJ, was trying to develop new ways to do that, like Sukhan, or I think that was my favorite. Like, AJ came up to me, he's like, hey Blake, are you going to Sukhan this year? And I'm like, what's Sukhan? And then AJ fucking punked me.
It was a Sukhan D's nuts thing.
So like, anytime I hear one of those, it actually gives me a lot of like positive vibes, because I remember laughing so much during that period. It's supposed to be like an insult, like, oh fuck, I got dunked on or whatever, but in like my weird fucking brain I'm like, oh, that's funny. That's like nostalgic to me, actually. So, I might use the dragon one, though.
All right, Blake. It's nug time.
Is it nug time?
Yeah, it's nug time.
I feel like our Control-Alt-Delete game is pretty good.
Control-Alt-Delete is a very good name for it that you just knocked out of the park right there.
Dude, thanks, man. I've been practicing. I'm realizing I shouldn't just say random things. I should have a little bit of prep before I go into these.
Were you not? I mean, like, we can try it. If you would like, I could propose something that would have come from your headspace before. Might I propose Game Deleter?
No. No, I think Control-Alt-Delete is way better.
Control-Alt-Delete is way better.
No. I was just saying, like, normally, like, when it comes to, like, naming stuff, like, I try and come up with it on the spot, but I was listening back to some of our old episodes the other day, and I'm like, man, we really suck at that part. I should maybe come up with some things beforehand. So, yeah, I was thinking Control-Alt-Delete.
No. I think Horse Basketball was very good.
Yeah. It was not Horse Basketball. It was fucking Earth Defense Horse.
Yeah, I'm glad we turned that one around.
Actually, I think looking back on previous games, you know what my fucking least favorite title was?
Is it Transformers Twin Primes Prime's like Legacy and Transformers Twin Primes Deception?
No,
because
that
those are my favorite
great.
Names.
My least favorite was Abracadabra Saddle, just by how long you and I talked about it in the episode, and then also like came up with things like for like 2 days prior to recording of like all of the other titles you and I could have gone with that were way funnier, but.
So, okay. Let's talk about this game it is a game that it's a very tough game, very difficult game. You go in, you lose. If it's against a normal enemy, a file or a folder will be taken from you, and what will be left is a little ransom note. You then must go in game, find where our object is hidden, retrieve it, or it will be lost and deleted forever.
Really quickly, just to build off of the ransom note concept, will it give you a hint of where it is? It'll be like, there are different themed areas throughout this open world.
Yeah, I think
the
ransom note will say something like, find me in the clown festival. And you're like, all right, he's at the circus. I get that.
Or like, check the gears. And that means you're like going into like the basement area where all of the, you know, like the boiler room area.
Yeah. And all the hints are like vague enough that people will still have to like start a Reddit community to be like, hey, I have a ransom note that just says, riddle me this, riddle me that. Where you'll find me, I'll never go splat. And you're like, I have no fucking idea what this note is talking about. And then you have to go in and talk to someone, like 8 comments in, they're going to be like, the Reddit community is like, he's in the paintball room that you can find in the Chuck E. Cheese place on the fourth level.
Okay.
That's the splat word.
AJ, I have a wild fucking idea for you, just to like make this game actually multiplayer to some degree. You never played Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain, right?
Fuck no.
There was this thing called your mother base, and what you could do is you can pimp that mother base out with like soldiers or vehicles or weapons that you found while playing the game, and then people can then, there was this whole multiplayer thing where you can invade people's mother bases. So what I suggest is like there's 3 ways to get your shit back. So the first time is like the first time you lose it, you can go find it in the level. And or actually there's 2 ways. So if you die, it's like Souls. You die once, it's out there in the level that you have to go find. If you don't, if you die, it's theoretically lost forever. But what you can do is you can then design your own mother base or your own area that other people can try and invade. Or, and then, you know, like, if somebody dies in your area, you get one of your things back. Or, you have to go invade somebody else's mother base as a last-ditch effort to get your shit back.
I would argue that invading somebody else's game and causing them to die doesn't work in a way to, like, save your bones post losing your data. I think that what you do is it is a preventative measure for yourself. If you and I both play this game, and I know that you play it, I can invade your world, cause disasters and problems for you, and I can steal one of your datas. Your data will then go in a folder in my computer titled, "This is for the grubby dudes." And anytime I die from then on, the grubby dudes will first go to that folder. It is a preventative cause. Me causing strife and pain for other players gives me a buffer.
Okay, so if I'm super bad,
there's no, like, and I lose my folders full of Transformers pornography, I'm never getting that folder back.
You're not gonna elaborate on that at all?
Nope. But I can make a folder of your data that I've all stolen.
Of my Transformers pornography.
Because you have that folder just filled with, like, you know, school essays that you still haven't deleted. I might just, like, chew away and snag a couple of those from you, and those will go in my grubby guys folder.
But then the grubby
guys will come and steal stuff from there first, giving me a little bit of wiggle room and breathing space as I run through this game.
Okay, but then you would need to keep track of, like, that grubby folder. The files that are in there can only be gotten by the people they came from. But also, if they're deleted, if you're using it as a buffer, where does it go? Like, is it just stay in the folder, but you no longer have access to it? So, like, if a person invades, they can, even if you lost that data in your game, they still have access to it.
I think for you playing the game, because I went into your game and gave you a bunch of distraught, maybe that then your data is just in the world and you can go find it. I have a duplicate ticket. Maybe it is just a little ticket and it says grubby guy ticket, and the grubby guy will come in, grab that ticket, and leave. So for me, I have a buffer zone. Your stuff is just in the world, and you have to go clean up the mess I made for you.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, I like that idea a little bit better.
Yeah, I don't want you to have to come back and get your shit from me. This is just so that I don't have to deal with my grubby guys.
Okay, so we are literally taking the Dark Souls route of, like, invasions.
Yes.
Where it'll be like, okay, so it's like you get something out of it for coming and invading, but then it complicates my game. So here's the question we need to answer.
What does it look like? Are we imagining? I'm imagining a bit of a side scroller Hollow Knight looking place,
really?
Like world layout, not the same aesthetic, but something that plays similar. Were you imagining something more 3D?
There's this one game I had in mind. Hold on, let me see if I can't find it.
I'm also thinking about Hades.
About Hades.
I don't think you were thinking about Hades.
I was not thinking about it's a trailer that just dropped. It's like this polygon dude that's like flying. It's like a 3D representation of hacking. I think it's literally just called Hacker now that I think about it. No, it is not called Hacker. What the fuck am I thinking of? Hacker game.
For Switch.
Hacker's game. It's just a thriller and drama. Okay, I don't know. I don't remember the name of it, but it is basically, the idea of it is you are like a polygonal, super hot looking guy going through the levels, and you are basically Neo in the Matrix, where you have a bunch of super abilities and, you know, guns and shooter stuff. I'm thinking of something where this is like an area. This looks like what the inside of your computer might look like. So, like, Tron sort of vibes. Or Tron mixed with super hot.
Okay.
So, it's like everybody's polygonal, and then, everybody's represented by code or other, like, zeros and ones and all that other jam.
Okay.
But maybe if we want to have some fun with it, what are you thinking? Like, something with a little bit more detail, like Hades?
You know what actually I'm imagining now is something akin to the No More Heroes Travis Strikes Again.
Oh,
Hades is
fun.
Similar. It is like this 3D low polygon, low detail, lots of color, lots of accents to the designs. Right. I think that this game looks like an indie game, looks sort of like something you would imagine as like a portable game, but it's going to be on all of our systems and stuff.
So,
yeah, like this Hades No More Heroes look.
Okay, so what is the backdrop to that? Because, like, now that gives me an insight on, like, character design, where everybody's, like, everybody fucking pops. Everybody's silhouette is
yeah,
like,
the silhouettes are really good, and there's little accents for all of their colors. No real details, but we get the idea of what the character generally looks like.
So I suggest that the layout of this world is a cyberpunk city. So, like, lots of neon lights, lots of, like, really cool alleyway structures and other various things. So, like, it maintains that sort of, like, computer tech, like, sort of vibe about it. So, like, everybody's character design is, like, cyberpunk.
This is excellent, because what I love now is this idea that the data from you is being stolen and that we're deleting things from your computer. All of it is played straight. Like, it's played like it's supposed to be happening, right? Like, it's a dramatic moment. Like, it is blatant when an NPC runs up to you and says, player character, evil Morpheus has all of your computer's disk drivers in it. If you die now, you'll never be able to read a disk on your computer ever again. Like, that's played in game. Like,
That's like you getting hacked. Like, are you, while you were down and out, somebody stole your information. And, like, they're about to, like, this is like any cyberpunk story. It's like technology and personal information is the name of the game. It's the currency. It's like where people make most of their sales. So, like, the idea of you, if you die twice in a row, like, hey, that person made off with your info. Like, there's no getting it back. They just made a sale.
There will be a character, a shadow broker that you walk up to, and the shadow broker will say, hey, if you let me deactivate the charging port on your laptop for 4 days, I will give you a super upgrade for this run.
Oh, I like that, because it's like the chaos shit from Hades, where it's like, hey, you're going to take a negative for a little bit, but then there's going to be some bitchin' positives after it.
Yes, but it's like with your hardware. Yes.
Okay, sweet. I have to turn off your Twitter account for 4 days.
I will delete all of your computer's remembered passwords for 2 days.
Oh, all of the autofill data? Oh, fuck. I'd be fucked.
But it will be back when I am done with my evil machinations.
See, you know what I've pictured that character looking like? Like, Zerg from Destiny, where he just has the hood on, but just, like, little black, like, void-looking tentacles coming from his face.
Oh, I thought when you said Zerg, I immediately thought you meant Emperor Zerg from Buzz Lightyear.
No, yeah, that's the dealer. He's just Zerg, but in a hood.
Okay.
It's a hoodie that's too big, that's too small for him.
Yes, it's so Emperor Zerg with a hoodie that's too small.
But it's just fucking bulging at this. It's like tearing at the seams because he's just like a huge dude that tried getting in a rope. He's like, I like that idea. It's like the idea of a broker who's just not fucking casual at all.
Well, like a broker that's super, like, he's built for this, but he wants to wear a cool jacket.
Yeah.
God, I love the idea of Emperor Zurg Buzz Lightyear with a cool hoodie on. Thank you very much for this great image.
But see, you know what's funny about that? He's already wearing a trench coat. So he's wearing a trench coat over his trench coat, which is just so fucking dumb.
Well, the first trench coat's made of metal. This is a jacket. This is for casual wear.
I like the idea. You know, like, actually, hold on. Let me double check. You know, like, there's the picture, like, Zurg has the sweet, like the top of his coat has the points. It's supposed to look like a collar. I'm picturing those just being sharp and tearing through the top of his cloak.
Hell yeah.
Oh, Zurg is spelled with a U. I always thought it was with a G. Oh, shit. Yeah, he has little collar bits, and they just fucking poke through. All right, that's our dealer. Hell yeah. All right, Control-Alt-Delete. I think that's a pretty damn good game.
That's a good game.
Hell yeah. All right, are we ready for patch notes, brother?
Let's go on to patch notes, brother. Welcome back, everybody, to Patch Notes. What's good? What's good? What's good? It's me, your boy, AJ, the MC of the host. I wish I had a way to fit more letters and acronyms into that, but we're making it do. Isn't that right, Blake Rea?
Hey, thank you, everybody, for listening to 102.Suck FM. Welcome to Patch Notes.
Now, of course, here at Patch Notes, we've always got the most poppin', most exciting, most flabbergasting news for all of you. And today, we've got the news that this weekend, that's right, the 26th of September in 2022, we're going to be playing some Among Us with our Patreon supporters. So if you're part of our Patreon, make sure that you're paying attention to our updates there this week, because we will be giving out an explanation on how to play Among Us with Blake and I on the 26th. That will be this Saturday. Blake Ray, do you have any closing remarks that you'd like to say?
You know what I'm realizing? That radio show host, it's all about wiggity wiggity, what's good, time.
Blake?
Yeah, it's all just like, it's just fucking adjective city. Like, just like, hey, welcome to the most hot, steamy, poppin' episode of Spiritual Success of the radio station. It's just like a matter of just like, man, how can I fucking fill out the time? Because I got to talk for like 12 hours in between songs. all right. Hey, you know, we got a real jammin', slammin', epic iTunes review session that you can be plugging into. I don't know what the fuck that means. Hey, everybody.
Hey, wait, can you explain to me what an iTunes review session is? Are we going to be running some sort of special? Hey, if you come in and leave us a review on Thursday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., we're going to give you a free drink? What does an iTunes review session look like, Blake?
Hey, everybody, welcome to the steamy... I'm explaining what an iTunes review session is. Hey, everybody, welcome to the steamy, soft, sultry part of the podcast. If you want to have a really good iTunes,
if this is a radio
session,
show, I want to know what time this radio is on. Hey, so I can turn my radio off before then. Could you imagine turning on the radio and they're trying to put the moves on you?
No, I'd love that.
Hey, like, everybody, welcome to KROQ. Most hard, most exhilarating and sensual rock music experience. We got some ballads coming to you right around here. You know what sucks is that I was able to do that in fucking character. Like, that tracks a little ballad session from the radio.
It. Well, it's super you. Like, I definitely say you were like, you got the sexy vibes going on for Spiritual Suck. You bring the sex energy.
I'm just really upset that if somebody wanted to do a rock session, like on a rock radio station, they wanted to do a bunch of ballads, the innuendos are all right there for them to just be real nasty on public radio.
Hey, AJ, I hate to break it to you, but that's what rock was. Like, the whole idea of rock was like, hey, I'm young and I want to fuck. Like, I want to drink, I want
to
fuck, and I want
to party.
But the
radio wouldn't do that to me. The radio doesn't want to fuck me.
Are you kidding me? Like, the whole idea of, like, that's why, like, I don't know what the generation was before boomers, but it was like, that's why old people hated rock, because everybody's like, it was all about celebrating like sex and the ability to be like, have fun and express yourself.
I thought that
was
the hippie movement.
I mean, rock was kind of born out of the hippie movement, dude. Like the 60s and 70s was where, like, I think Rush was like big in like 69 into the 70s, my guy.
You're telling me that Rush was at Woodstock?
I don't think Rush was at Woodstock.
I guess,
but I know.
I guess my thing is, like, I never imagined.
Jimi Hendrix was at Woodstock, dude, and he's like considered one of the kings of rock.
Whoa, wait, yeah.
Yeah,
I guess I just never thought about the music from the hippie movement, because I'm just so used to seeing it like, you know, the shitty jeans, a headband, and acoustic guitar. Never really thought about what music they were playing.
I mean, you had Bob Dylan, you had fucking, actually, isn't Bob Dylan still alive? My God. I mean, like, yeah, I guess, like, when you think of hippie movement, you think of, like, Fleetwood Mac, which is, like, very, just, like, not, I wouldn't, like, soft, a little bit of mix of orchestral and, like, very kind of relaxing, but then you get to their 80s stuff. But either way, hey, if you like this podcast, please give us a review on iTunes. It really helps us stay up there on the charts, and it makes us feel good about ourselves, and I like looking at them. So thank you.
Fleetwood Mac has been going since the 60s?
I think since the 70s. I think their debut album was like 76.
Sorry, I had to look that up when you said Fleetwood Mac was part of the hippie movement, I was like, I could have sworn I heard somebody just talking about a new Fleetwood Mac song
AJ, 2 months ago. Holy shit. So Fleetwood Mac was formed in 1967, and they were running till 1995, and they disbanded, and then they got back together in 1997 and are still going to the present day. Yeah, dude, Fleetwood Mac was like a 60s band.
Learn something new every day.
Pink Floyd formed in 1965. Led Zeppelin formed in 1968. Yeah, dude, like, rock was like a 60s thing, man.
So an iTunes session, I guess, is just when you come in and leave us iTunes reviews and listen to rock music. Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast. I'm closing the show now, Blake. Thank you all so much for listening. If you want to give us some of your submissions, you can find us on Twitter @SpiritualSuck, As always, I've been your host, AJ Hart.
And I've been your host, Blake Rea. AJ, we should make a sticker that says 102.suckFM.
We should
we should totally fucking make stickers of that.
Yes, everybody, but only if like it's underlined, so it almost looks like 102 suck 'em. Our intro and outro music is Cheap Shot by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. This
Check
is
them out on the
successor,
charts.
And these are cool games.
That should not be made.
We finally closed it. We're done. We're free.